You're listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast, an elder-led ministry of Believers Baptist Church in Emory, Texas. The Asking for a Friend podcast exists as a weekly resource for the edification and knowledge of God's people. My name is Tyler Jones. I'm your host. Thanks for listening in, whoever you may be and wherever you may be. May the Lord bless this podcast to you as a means of grace for your spiritual growth. On the podcast today is Jason Rowland, senior pastor and elder of Believers Baptist Church, and a couple of the other elders of our church, Philip Castleton and Jared Haygood. We've been setting up, and I think we talked about this in the last month or so, but we've been setting up a couple of Israel trips that I'm pretty excited to go on. My wife is just way too excited about this. I mean, just for as early as it is, because we still have, you know, 6 months or whatever. But there's one coming up pretty quick here. Luckily, we have a lady in our church membership here that's she works with a travel agency or however that works, I guess, and sets all that up for us. I'm not sure that she could set up the kind of tour that we're talking about today, though. I'm not sure if that's actually something she does.
I'm pretty sure it isn't.
We'll figure that out here pretty quick. The question of the day, and what I'm talking about here is, do people really come back from heaven? And I don't know who.
That was good.
Are we going to you first, Jared, or who are we going to?
I think Philip's going to read some scripture.
Okay, good deal.
Well, yeah. Well, first, I had to ask, when I saw the question, I had to clarify and ask if we were talking about eschatology, like, you know, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. I mean, that kind of thing, or were we talking about heavenly tourism? When they told me. I was able to prepare, I think.
But he called me and he said that. I was like, what?
Well, I mean, are we coming back from heaven? Well, the answer is yes. Yes. But does he, in the context of heavenly tourism, the answer is no. Anyway, but to get to some scripture.
Let's define what we mean by heavenly tourism, because you're talking about a gracious, wonderful lady in our church who is a travel agent. She is the travel agency making a trip to the Promised Land. And so we actually are going to take a trip to the Promised Land in February and in June of 2020. But what we're talking about with heavenly tourism are those people who claim to have died and gone to heaven and for a time spent there in heaven, experiencing all the wonders of heaven, and have come back and have spoken about it and have written about it.
Right. That's what we're talking about. So is heavenly tourism, does it really happen? Do people go to heaven and then come back to tell their story? And I think to be succinct, I think the answer is no. And I think that we'll establish that hopefully to your satisfaction as we look at some scriptures. But the first place I would go is John 3. So we know the story. Nicodemus has come by night. He is a religious teacher, and he has come to Jesus, and he is asking him questions. And Jesus, you know, has said that you must be born again, that you must be born from above, that no one's going to see the kingdom or enter the kingdom unless they have been born again. And then he says that in verse 7, do not marvel that I say you must be born again. And the wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound. You don't know where it comes from or where it goes. But this is the case for everyone who's been born again. So Nicodemus responds. He says, how can these things be? Verse 9. Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? He's chiding him. He's saying, listen, you're a spiritual teacher. You know the book. You should understand what it says. Verse 11, truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we've seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you of earthly things and you don't believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Right? Mm-hmm. If I were to speak of spiritual realities, heavenly realities, how would you understand them? How would you know? Verse 13, no one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. He's saying, I'm the only one. I'm it. You can't understand heavenly realities. You can't understand heavenly truths unless I tell them. I'm the only one who's been to heaven. I'm the only one who's come back. I'm the only one who's come back to tell of these truths. Verse 13, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And so he's immediately setting forth a very definitive statement that no one except Christ has been to heaven and come back with the authority to speak of its realities, to tell of heavenly things. So when we see people that come back and make these claims, we should immediately want to weigh them against Scripture. There's more Scripture than that. There's more things that are talked about, aren't there, Jim?
Yeah. So I'll just go and name a few of what we see, visions of heaven or people who have died, and we'll bring it back around to what Philip was talking about. But we see, I don't know if I want to say this right. Is it Micaiah, you think?
Micah?
There's an extra. Anyways, it's not the book of Micah, but Micah, I guess we'll say his name. In 2 Chronicles 18:18, mentions heaven and God and the throne. We see Acts 7:55 of Stephen talking about a glimpse of heaven with Isaiah 6, Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 10, Revelation 4 through 6, John talking about visions of heaven. So we have those scriptures with that. And then we have John 11, where Lazarus falls ill and is brought back to life. We see the widow's son, when Elijah raises the widow's son in 1 Kings 17. And then we have Paul. And Philip, if you don't mind me with this name right here, who did Paul raise from the dead?
Oh, his name is Eutychus. He fell out of a two-story building.
Well, Eutychus, too, if you'd fell out of a two-story building. I mean, that only seems reasonable.
So anyways, the third one is Paul in Acts chapter 20, raising up Eutychus. So those are just some biblical looking at scriptures that we see here.
Well, one of the distinctions you're trying to make is that the people who have visions didn't die. They were given supernatural revelation, right?
Correct.
And the ones who did die in Scripture and were raised again, none of them actually had any articulation of biblical realities at all.
Yeah, I mean, right? It was like a whole chapter of John to the story, but never goes into detail of what heaven was like and the person coming back, so.
Right. I think that the reason we even were given this question is the thought that this particular idea has become so popular in our mm-hmm. culture. And so these short after-death tours of heaven are made into movies. Heaven is for Real, 90 Minutes in Heaven by Don Piper, which was a book originally and then became a movie. And so these ideas are popular in the culture. And what we're trying to say is that these books, these movies, would be totally fabrication.
Not only inaccurate, but dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And there's a number of reasons why, because what you both have said in regard to John 3 and then these that we see in the Scripture, but we also see there's so much inconsistency in what is said. Each story would be different than the other. And we also see that it's not even greater problem is that it's not even consistent with what the Scripture reveals about heaven at all. You know, there was even a guy that wrote a book, it's called 23 Minutes in Hell. Mm-hmm. And now all of these seem to, at least not all, but some seem to be well-meaning in that they want to somehow convey some kind of comfort to believers or some kind of warning to unbelievers in the case of the 23 minutes in hell.
Well, I think you hit the nail when you said seem to be well-meaning, though.
Right, seem to be well-meaning. And so I think that we just, based on their lack of consistency with Scripture in terms of how they describe heaven with pink clouds and the way that they describe Jesus, the way that they talk about unicorns, and none of these things are mentioned in Scripture that are written in their books and in their verbal testimony. So you have to question that, first of all. And then even as you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, what Paul, who's the only person that I ever know that was actually taken into heaven and came back and saw things that he could not even speak of. I mean, he was commanded. He's writing in 2 Corinthians. He's trying to defend his apostolic ministry. He's trying to defend the gospel. And he is forced into writing this because of the false teachers who are opposing him and opposing the gospel. And he says, I know a man who went to heaven and saw some things that he cannot even speak about. So he wrote no book. He had no monetary gain. There was no financial advantage to him because he had this experience. And in fact, when we think about that in light of what we see in our culture, movies and books and these books making the New York bestseller list and 500,000 copies being sold and all those monetary pieces of that, it becomes pretty evident what is happening in these stories, especially as you compare that to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12. He can't even speak about it.
Yeah. Not permitted to speak, he says, right?
Right.
Yeah, there are definitely motivations that are beyond the edification of Christ's people that are going on. Like you said, there are biblical inconsistencies. There are also testimonial inconsistencies. I mean, their own testimonies are inconsistent. Sometimes, like Piper, for example, contradicts himself. It's like he forgot what he wrote. You know, he'll do an interview and say something that's completely contradictory to. In fact, in Piper's book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, he says that he did not see God, nor did he see any illumining glow that would detect God's presence. And then later on, he's standing on a stage, I think on TBN, preaching, and he says that he looked up and saw through the gates, and he saw Jesus, and then he saw that the glow of God the Father. And well, it's another contradiction. He says that he actually never went into heaven; he just went to the gates. But then when he preaches later, he says he actually went in through the gates. These contradictions, they don't lend themselves, comport with Scripture, but they don't comport with each other. The arguments between the people who have supposedly gone to heaven don't line up. One of them, people have wings. One of them, people don't have wings. It's just the Holy Spirit is blue, according to Burpo, I think it is. So there are a lot of inconsistencies.
Well, and if they are well-meaning, as they seemingly are, as at least they purport to be.
Yes.
Don Piper's book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, there's no gospel. There's no presentation of the gospel. There's no sense of warning, even in that book, about this is what you ought to think about. I mean, if he really wants to edify and build up the believer,
there might be a reason for that, and I don't know Don Piper's, yes, his theology. But with the Heaven is for Real book that came out with a little boy, died and went to heaven, supposedly, that one, if you watch the movie, the reason that I would argue there's no gospel presentation is because they articulate and teach a universal salvation, universalism. There's a scene in that movie where this woman is grieving over the death of her son. They're sitting at a graveside, and Colton Burpo's dad, Todd, sits by her on this bench, and she's afraid that her son died and went to hell. And in his attempts at easing her grief, he said, "Do you believe that God loves your son any less than he loves mine? You know, in essence, he let my son go to heaven. He'll let your son go to heaven." Mm-hmm. Even though she knew that he lived a life without faith in Christ. So they're teaching a universal salvation. So it's no wonder that they don't articulate a gospel presentation, because they don't actually fear hell.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Plus, when you make it to Hollywood, I mean, you want the money, the broadness.
Sure,
that teaches to the motivations, right.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking that one of these writers of this so-called heavenly tour, and it may have been Burpo, but it may have been another, I can't recall, and I apologize, but basically they came back later and said it was all a lie.
Yeah, that was, I heard an article on that. I read an article on that. That was a little boy who had been in a car wreck, and he was, and I think to this day, and I can't think of his name at the moment, but he was paralyzed. He didn't write the book, but his dad wrote the book. His mother and him both kept saying, this isn't true, this isn't true, this isn't true, but no one would listen to them, including the president of Lifeway, okay, with a mom, until the son wrote an open letter, finally, that said, everything my dad is purporting is untrue, this didn't happen, right? That's when even Lifeway finally pulled the book. I mean, that's a pretty scary thing, because there's a lot of money to be made in these things.
Mm-hmm. So let's wrap it up by thinking about implications. What are the implications to believe these heavenly tour stories?
I think we can't get, well, two things. Number one, you know, even this, I know this is a whole different topic, but I know there's a big one going on in Louisiana where, you know, this psychic person comes and tells, you know, the family life and stuff like that. So just want this yearning and wanting security, wanting hope, wanting a future, wanting to be loved, just that thing our heart yearns for. And so we're going to find it in some aspect. And so I think this just kind of feeds into that sometimes. And number two, just once again, listening to these stories, listening to stuff and going back to the Word of God and making sure that it all matches up, instead of just appeasing our emotionals or emotional driven thing that we want, or does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so,
well,
not that emotions are bad, but
John 20:29 says, blessed are those who don't see and yet believe.
Right.
Okay. We don't need people to come back from heaven to tell us what heaven's about. What we need to know about heaven is written in the scriptures. When we do believe these people, meaning to or not, whether we've thought through it or not, and we should as Christians, if we're going to love Him with our mind, we need to think through these things. But what we're really doing is saying that the scripture is not sufficient for what we need to know. God has not told us enough. I need to know more.
As if you need some kind of outside verification, yes, to bolster your faith.
Right, right.
That would be a dishonoring
of God. A sign. In fact, the Pharisees often said, you know, Jesus, give us a sign, give us a sign. And he said, a wicked and evil generation seeks for a sign. The only sign you're getting is the fact that the Son of Man is the son, like Jonah, right? He's going to be in the earth and he's going to rise again. That's what you're going to get for a sign. That's it. It's a wicked and evil generation that seeks for that. We don't need it. The scripture is enough. And as we talked about earlier, there's a beautiful picture of the sufficiency of scripture and the fact that these things actually don't give us anything of value if we think about the rich man and Lazarus, right? The rich man dies, Lazarus dies. We know the story. The rich man, he's sent to paradise, but a negative side of paradise, right? To Hades.
Hades.
He's sent there. And he's in agony, he's in torment, and he wants to be satisfied, in the sense that he wants a drop of water to ease his torment. And he says, "Why don't you send somebody back from the dead to tell my brothers? I got five brothers, and you know they're all going to die without without this knowledge." And what he's told is, they have Moses and the prophets. If they don't believe that, neither would they believe if someone were to come back from the dead. The point Moses and the prophets there that's being made when that statement's used is that Moses and the prophets are representative of the scriptures. He's saying they have the scriptures. If they don't believe the scriptures, they neither would believe even if someone were raised from the dead. The testimony of that person is not going to convince an unbelieving heart if the scriptures won't convince an unbelieving heart. And so if the scriptures aren't enough for you, I'm sorry to say that neither will the testimony of a four-year-old little boy who claims to come back from heaven. Look at the scriptures. They're enough. They're enough. That's the testimony Thank goodness of the church here, Believers Baptist, is the testimony of Christ. That's why it's our testimony, I pray, is because the God says, I've given myself, I've given it to you in Scripture, and it's enough. I need nothing else to tell us about the realities of heaven.
Okay, so let's end with, so how do we respond to Christians who read these books, who go to the movies, who...
You don't say, hey, stupid.
No.
Okay, not that way. I'm teasing. I did that for Jared's benefit.
But some people find great comfort, great joy in these books and in these stories. And so how do I, as a Christian, respond to that person?
Well, we should encourage them to think critically. That's one thing I think that we need to do. We edify them with Scripture, so we point out... Luke 16, right, that says that there is no edification, even if someone came back from the dead, that isn't already put forth. By the way, if someone came back from the dead and they testified to something that isn't in Scripture, then we know it's not true. And if they testify to something that is in Scripture, it's not needed. It's already there. So Scripture's enough. But we would encourage, I guess, critical thinking and for them to seek God's Word for these answers and not seek for them outside of that.
Absolutely. I think, you know, being non-condemning, being gentle, being patient in the way that they may be thinking at the moment and helping them to see the sufficiency of Scripture. They don't need any other special revelation. And be content with what the Bible reveals about heaven and about the eternal things, and so that they can trust in that instead of another person's experience or so-called experience.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for listening to the Asking for a Friend podcast. If what you've heard today has been helpful to you, please subscribe. On behalf of the elders of BBC, I invite you to a worship service at Believers Baptist Church this coming Sunday. The Bible study hour begins at 9:15, and the worship service begins at 10:30. Grace and peace.